Hello and welcome to the Scottish Parliament podcast. My name is Stephen Blythe and I work in the web and social media team here at Holyrood. Today I'm with Gillian Martin, MSP, convener of the Environment, Climate Change and Land Reform Committee, and committee member Finlay Carson, MSP. Thanks to you both for joining us this morning. Today we're going to be discussing climate change, specifically the government's climate change bill and the committee's response to this. So firstly, Gillian, I wonder if you could give us some background. What does the bill cover?
Okay, so the bill, I suppose, is the next step from the legislation that was there in 2009. So we've now got, a situation where, you know, climate change is the biggest environmental and societal change that we're going to face. Mm-hmm. So you can't just rely on maybe targets that you had however many years ago. It's constantly got to be updated and be taken into account new technology. Sure. And new pathways to achieving targets. So the bill, as it's written, actually changed the targets from 80% reduction of greenhouse gas emissions to 90%, and it introduces new interim targets as well. And it's responding to the UN framework for the Convention on Climate Change, known as the Paris Agreement. Mm-hmm. So we also are aware that the government also takes advice from the Committee on Climate Change, the UK governmental body, and they've been scrutinising the Paris Agreement as well. So it's an update on the targets that were there before, making them far more ambitious. And our committee was looking at what those targets were and the timescale for achieving those targets and seeing whether they were sufficient enough.
Mm-hmm. So also you've heard from a number of different people as part of the committee's scrutiny. What did you learn then from that?
Well, if I can first of all say who we did hear from. So we, before we actually started doing formal evidence sessions in the committee room, we actually held quite a lot of public engagement sessions as well, really to give us a flavour of what the general public and, I suppose, activists and groups in the communities were thinking about the climate change bill and what they wanted us to look at.
Sure.
And then we took evidence in our formal sessions. We had international perspectives, including we had witnesses from Sweden, mm-hmm. Both from the government and from the activist side. We heard evidence from a great deal of stakeholders as well, including not just the activist groups and the third sector groups that were actually, environmental groups, but we also heard from the people representing sectors who have been, singled out as being the biggest emitters,
yep.
Like transport, construction, agriculture as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the views that we heard really brought home to us the scale of the challenge, but also the scale of the challenge that was for a range of different sectors and actually contributing to that new ambitious target as well. So it's not just quite as straightforward as saying, right, we're all going to hit this target. It's a case of we need to look at how we're going to hit that target, mm-hmm. and what the challenges are across all sectors.
Sure. So Finlay, one of the main discussions was around setting targets for reducing emissions. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, yeah, the bill's very important when it comes to targets. And the important questions were, should we aim for higher than a 90% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions? And also, when 100% or, as often called, net zero targets should be set? Now, the bill calls for 90%, but this was introduced after the recent United Nations panel report, which suggested that limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees would require a far-reaching, rapid and unprecedented changes across all of society, and that all the pathways to that 1.5 degrees increase would include greenhouse gas emissions falling to net zero. Mm-hmm. You know, here and the panel, the committee wants to ensure that Scotland's leading in this area and one of the leading countries, because I do believe we have a moral responsibility to do so. We all understand that 90% target is stretching and challenging, and net zero would present even further difficult challenges. However, the evidence we took would suggest that the benefits and cost savings of early action would outweigh the costs of the effect of climate change.
Sure. And one of the thrusts then of the debate was the opportunity that investment in innovation and technology and so on created. What does that mean in practice?
Well, investment in and support for innovation and particularly knowledge exchange and transfer of technology to support the key sectors such as agriculture and transport is going to be absolutely vital to meeting the targets. We believe that the government needs to take a holistic approach and further work needs to be done on target setting and identifying the actual deliverable pathways for these key sectors. And we need them to increase and accelerate action sooner rather than later. The sort of examples might be in agriculture, improved soil management or improved livestock management, clean technology development, the creation of eco-park for further innovation and looking at remanufacturing from recycled materials.
Sure. You also then talked about the importance of behavioural change at a sector and individual level, and it was a recurring theme at a lot of the workshops that were held with the members of the public. So what does that mean for us all?
Well, it means there's need to be action right across the whole of the population. You know, we absolutely need a greater focus on transformational behaviour change at individual, institutional and systemic levels, so right across society. And this needs to be prioritised and promoted and in some way incentivised by the Scottish Government because we realise that small changes can have a significant impact. So, for example, just choosing to walk or cycle for shorter journeys, you know, maybe down to the shops or to work, but also to look at taking public transport for longer journeys. And when we go to the shops, consider the carbon impact of the goods that we buy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Gillian, then, what were the recommendations that the committee made?
Well, we made a number of recommendations. So we feel that clarity is needed on the temperature limit that the bill is contributing to and seeking to achieve. And obviously Scotland can't be the only country that does that. So it is about contributing to. And 1.5 degrees is the temperature that the Paris Agreement and the IPCC report that Finlay mentioned is recommending. We think also that climate justice requires a further focus so we can ensure that the most vulnerable are supported in the transition to a decarbonised economy and society. You know, at the moment, we have a lot of people maybe whose jobs are dependent on a fossil fuel economy. Mm-hmm. So if we move to a different type of economy, what are we going to do to make sure that those people aren't left behind? Mm-hmm. We also want to make sure that disadvantaged people with fewer opportunities to make those kind of step changes, maybe around things like, you know, the type of food that they buy, the type of materials that they buy, they have the opportunity to be fully engaged in this and not be left behind as mm-hmm. well. And also, we were very clear that climate change is an intergenerational justice issue as well. I mean, the previous generations have effectively been the generations that have, you know, arguably caused this situation that we're in. So we you don't want to be leaving a planet behind for the next generation where they're having to deal with all the problems that we've created. Mm-hmm. And similarly, we do have a moral obligation as well as a developed country, a country that's had a large industrial past that has caused quite a lot of the emissions. And the developing world are suffering the consequences of our action and they didn't contribute sure. to it in mm-hmm. the first place.
So to wrap up then, what are the next steps?
So the next steps really are our report's now published. We're going to wait for a response from the Scottish Government as well. But really crucially, we are waiting for new advice from the Committee on Climate Change at UK level as well, because we know that the Scottish Government takes on their advice as well. They do an awful lot of work in looking at the various pathways mm-hmm. which can be opened up in order to have more ambitious targets set. And Scottish Government are waiting on that too. The bill was also drafted ahead of the recent report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change as well. And Finn's mentioned that already. They have made the job of governments in terms of their emissions reductions far more critical far-reaching, they're far more challenging. So we expect that the Committee on Climate Change are going to be taking that into account as well. And we did hear from the chair of the Committee for Climate Change, Lord Deben, on that. Mm-hmm. So we'll be watching with interest to see what advice they give the Scottish Government. And that's not expected until the start of May.
Right. OK, that's great. Thanks to you both for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And to everyone at home, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe to the podcast online to make sure you don't miss an episode. And finally, if you'd like to read the Environment, Climate Change and Land Reform Committee's report on climate change, you can do so on our website at parliament.scot.